I know how much, right at the start of our message. I got a call from, Nantachie, Alabama, Mississippi today. They were talking to me about my articles, and, she said she was sick of problems, and I didn't know. Said she was probably a daughter to Brother Sister Carson, but, I found out she was Brother Carson's wife, and, she was asking me, you know, don't know a good pastor, do you? Where'd I get one? I said, no. I said, y'all and a whole bunch of other churches looking for one. She said, I know. And, she's a very sweet woman. I enjoy talking to her. She said she's fit to be 80 years old pretty soon. But, anyway, she told me the brother, Sinners has left the church already, and, now they're without a pastor. So, do pray for he and, Brother Sinners and the church there in Berea Baptist Church there in Mantachie, Alabama, I guess it is. But, if you will look over to our text, in verse 13 and 14, all we're going to look at in Romans 13, the Lord said, let us walk honestly in the day, not rioting and drunkenness in the chambering of wantonness, not in strife and envy. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. this is not a suggestion. This is a command. The Bible is full of commandments. There's not 10, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of commandments throughout the Bible. And whether you go over, I think the First Thessalonians 5 is 22. So, you know, when you go to count them, there's countless commandments in the Bible. Anytime God says something, we take it as a command. We do not take it as a suggestion or anything else. He's telling us as Christians, we are to walk honestly, as in the day. That means when the day is out, we're more honest. You know, thieves come out at night, right? Dishonest people are out at night. And we've had three messages on this. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have completed my outline. Tonight will be our last message on this topic. This will be our fourth message. My outline is, the full outline is on the website right now, and this will be our last message on the subject of put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we ended last week, we were talking about sanctification and justification. And we got to the end of it, but I didn't get these last scriptures in. I wanted to start there before we get into our last points, two points, which are pretty short. when the Lord saves us, we become justified. Once we have been cleansed in the blood of Jesus, then we are justified. There's no sin in us. We do not sin at all. And since we are justified, and it's hard to understand, isn't it, to understand how that God cleanses us from all our sins, every one of them. Even sins we haven't committed yet, already been washed in the blood of Jesus, but weren't all of them washed at Calvary? Didn't Jesus take our sins to Calvary with him? Yes, he did. So therefore, they were all cleansed then. And the Lord tells us, since we are Christians, we are to walk honestly, as in the day. And we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ as a clothing. We are to wear him as though people can see us in it, as much as if we wore a pink suit, or if we wore a red suit, or one of them neon green suits. You know how you see all those things? Even as though we were wearing them, they should be able to see the Lord on us. They should be able to see the Lord in our life. And I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians today that don't do that. They get to the point they don't much care about the Lord anymore, I'm afraid. So to end our last point, talking about justification and sanctification, Our sanctification, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. Our sanctification is our purification. So our walk can be pure. Our walk is to be pure. And since the Lord has purified us, since he sanctified us, since he's made us justified, then we can walk in this world in a holy manner. Will we sin? Yes, we will sin. We're still sinners, aren't we? It's still part of our nature. But as Christians, we are not to allow sin into our life. We're to fight it with everything we have. We're to fight it and fight it and fight it and fight it and fight it. Because if we ever satisfy the flesh, we are not satisfying God. We need to always remember that. Every time it comes to mind, if we are satisfying the flesh, we are not satisfying God. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and flesh. You cannot serve spiritual and fleshly. One will cause you to hate the other, basically, what the Lord said. So we can walk in Christ-likeness in this world and walk as Christ walked. Not that we won't sin, but that our sins covered by the blood of Jesus. So we just walk the best we can in the scriptures according to the scriptures. Are we going to stumble? Yes. We may even fall down. But we have to get back up. And as Brother Hammond used to say, we get back up, we dust ourselves off, and we keep walking. We don't stop, we don't give up. We have to keep walking. Notice what the Lord said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." As long as you're walking in the Spirit. What's walking in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is walking according to the Word of God. Even if you don't like it, even if you disagree with it, that's the way you walk. You go to work, you do your job, and they may ask you to do something you don't like. They may ask you to do something you disagree with. Well, you can either quit or you can do it. Well, with the Lord, we sometimes run into things in the scriptures that might upset us, might cause us to get terribly upset about things. Because we do still have flesh about us, don't we? But we're still to obey them. Even if it goes against the way we raised, even if it goes against our nature, we're still to obey the scriptures at any cost and never obey the flesh. He says, verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Both of them are capitalized. "And these are the contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would, because you're walking in the Spirit." That's our new walk in this world. That's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's walking in this world of sin. This is a terrible world. It's an awful world. And everything in it, almost everything, goes against God, goes against Christians, goes against Christianity. But we still have to walk according to the scriptures, even if people don't like it, even if our own family don't like it. We serve God and not man. So the question is, are we doing that? Are we doing that in our everyday life? Are we walking in the will of God, all of God's will? Not some, but all of it. If God says something in his word, do you just kind of glance over it and say, huh? Or do you say, okay, Lord, that's what I'll do. Okay, Lord, that's what I'll do. Okay, Lord, that's what. That should be our answer to everything, isn't it? Okay, Lord. That's the way I will walk. That's what I will do. That's how I will handle things. Third, put on Christ. Go to Isaiah 29, if you will. We must understand that we are sinners and naked before God's eyes. Remember, the biggest positive that Christians have about them is they are fearful of God. Not fearful of what God's going to do to us, but fearful of disappointing God. I mean, God sent his son to die for us. God gave us as a gift eternal life. God, by grace and mercy, saved our souls through Christ and forgave our sins through the blood of Jesus. We owe God a lot, don't we? We're going to go to heaven when we leave this world. And we're going to dwell there all the rest of eternity with the Lord. Not in hell, where it's dark, smells like sulfur, and it's hot, and it's terrible. But we're going to go be with the Lord for all eternity. We must see that every part of our life, every action of our life, every thought of our life, and everything we work to do is seen by God. I think a lot of people forget this. But don't ever forget, God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. God is not a man that he sits on the throne in heaven and know what we're doing. God is with us. Holy Spirit is in us. That means God is in us. And everywhere we go and everything we do, God is there. God sees every thought. He knows every imagination of our heart. He knows what we're thinking at all times. And no, he don't have to know what I'm thinking and then go over to Larry and know what he's thinking, to Justin, know what he's thinking, to Frank, back up to Ronnie, to get an idea of what we're thinking. No, he knows what we're all thinking at the very same time. All the time. He knows everything about us. He says in verse 20, chapter 29 and Isaiah verse 15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? God does. God sees us. God knows us. And that's what we have to be conscious of. That's what keeps us walking in Christ. That's what keeps us clothed with Jesus. And that we know our Father sees us. But, well, I disagree with, you know, he's saying, I disagree with that. God knows that. He knows everything we're thinking at the same time. Luke chapter 12, if you will. Verse 1. And Luke chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, he says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon the other, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, be ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hid that shall not be made known, or shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear of the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. Every word of ours is accountable for. Every deed is accountable for. Every thought of the heart is accountable for. To God. And we have to go into life and go into the world remembering that. Yes, your pastor may not know what you do when you're away from church. Your church members may not know what you do when you are away from church. Your family may not know what you do when you're away from them. But God always knows. God always knows. He knows if we're wearing Christ. And if we lack strength in those areas, we need to ask of God. Lord said over James, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. If you ask anything in the name of Jesus, God will do it for you. You just have to ask according to his will. What I'm saying is, we all need help, don't we? We all get these traitors. We all get these tight spots sometimes. Where we need the Lord to lift us up. We should try to lift each other up. We should try to help each other and not tear each other down, but pick each other up to help each other. First Thessalonians 5, if you will. Speaking of 22 commandments, we're not going to read them, but we're going to read a few of them. Putting on Christ is to walk in righteousness. You don't put on Christ to walk in unrighteousness, do you? No, you do not. We're to put on Christ and walk in righteousness, not in some things, but in everything of our life. Every day of our life, every moment of our life, every act of our life. Walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's what the Bible said, wasn't it? That's what we just read. As long as you're doing one, and that's fulfilling the Spirit, walking in the Scriptures, you're not going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's just the way it works. That's the way it is. That's the fact. God said it was, and it is. But also, it's the opposite of that, isn't it? If we're walking in the flesh, then what are we not doing? We're not fulfilling the Spirit, are we? We're not walking in Him. We're not walking in the Word of God. Because we're too busy walking in the flesh. A lot of people, a lot of Christians let things in their life, things in their world, their little world they live in, they let things get in the way between them and the Lord. We were talking about some churches and numbers in the churches earlier here at this church, and you can't worry about them things. I can't, as pastor of this church, sit around and worry about the numbers. Any numbers. Because no numbers matter. It is God that adds to church. It is God that takes away from church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what I mean? So there's nothing I can do. I'm working on my article for Sunday. And it's about God giving the increase. We can't get the increase. God has to get it, doesn't he? If God doesn't give an increase, you know what? There's not going to be no increase. Right? It's just like a garden out there. Rebecca and I planted most of that garden. I'm thankful for the water of the rain. I just wish we hadn't got all that at one time, but anyway, it's okay. I'm happy. Believe me, I'm happy. Our tomatoes were terrible. But anyway, we planted most of that, almost most of it. I'm talking about probably 80%, 90% of seed. And we grew it from seeds. Now, we bought all the seed, and we had some of the seed. And we put seed in dirt. We went and bought dirt and we put it in the dirt and put in a little tray and we grew up the plants. Well, we didn't make them grow, did we? No. God gives life, doesn't he? God gives the increase, doesn't he? It's the same thing with everything else in your life. If you have it or if you need it, God gives it to you. Everything's a gift from God. You don't manufacture it. You don't create it. You don't build it up within yourself. Not even the knowledge of the scriptures do you do that with. They too are an increase of God. Where did life come from? Well, over Adam, when God created him out of the dust of the ground, he was just a dead, empty body laying on the ground, wasn't he? No movement, no thinking, no breath, no life. Then God breathed into his nostrils breath of life, and he became a living soul. God gave life to everything, didn't he? Everything that exists that has life, life came from God. Life always comes from God. Well, so does spirituality, so does growth, so does your revelation of scriptures, so does everything in your life. It all comes from God, doesn't it? God gives it to us by grace and mercy, does he not? The Lord said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be made known. That's scary, isn't it? Does that scare you sometimes? It does me. You know, sometimes I do things I don't even realize I did them until, you know, I done did them. Once you done messed it up, it's hard to recuperate it, isn't it? But God knows that. One day, you and I and everybody else will be judged of God, through Christ. Christ is the judge. And the Lord knows everything we've done. That ought to make us think, should it not? But the Lord Jesus Christ knows everything you've ever done in your life. Every thought you've ever had. Isn't that amazing? It amazes me at what God does. How much God sees and how much God does and knows. How much grace he has, how much mercy he has. How many blessings he has. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. You can't count your blessings. You don't know all of your blessings. So you can only count the ones that you know about. But count them. Tomorrow, count the blessings you see in your life. And you see what God has done for you. 1 Thessalonians 5. So, walking in righteousness, walking in the scriptures, walking in the Spirit is not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So let's look at this passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 through 23. I'm not going to read it all. First, he says, prove all things. Prove them to yourself. Now, here's your answer, folks. There's not an answer in your life that is not in this book somehow, some way. And you don't have to find it all. Ask the Lord. He'll show it to you. Prove all things to yourself. Instead of just kicking it to the side and saying, oh, I don't know about that. Prove it to yourself. Prove it to yourself. Prove all things. That's one of the commandments. Hold fast that which is good. If it's good, hang on to it. Protect it with your life if you have to. The Lord says to buy the truth, and I can't remember Proverbs 23:23, I think it is. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Hold fast to that which is good. Look at verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Not just abstaining from evil, but abstaining from anything that's the appearance of evil. If it looks evil, stay away from it. If it looks like it's against the Lord, stay away from it. If the scripture says stay away from it, stay away from it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very good peace, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I will pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want, isn't it? That's the reason we do what we do in this life. That's the reason we stay by the word of God. Even if it don't have any friends, even if you don't have anyone that likes you, it's okay. All that matters in this world is that God loves you, and that Jesus loves you. And if God loves you, and Jesus will love you, and if God, Jesus loves you, the church will love you. And even if you don't think they do, they do. Some people just have a hard time expressing themselves. Other Christians will love you. So your friends may hate you. The world may hate you. Your government may hate you. They do. Insurance companies may hate you. I know they do. I've been dealing with them. Oh, the people are horrible. But anyway. So how will Jesus see us when he comes? You know, he could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. He can come the next day. He can come anytime. When the Father tells Jesus to come, he will come. And he will take us out of this world. How will he judge you? You ever think about that? If Jesus comes today, what's your judgment going to be? How will he judge you? What crowns and rewards will you give to have for all eternity? Cast before the Lord's feet. Hebrews chapter 7. Putting on Jesus Christ means to have a clean garment. Jesus is pure, isn't he? Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. By this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Listen to verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. Lord said he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Christ. The word uttermost means full ended. You know that? It means full ended. It also goes as far to mean as completely. So Christ is able to save you to the full end or completely. There's no question, no doubt. He's able to cleanse you, make you holy, make you righteous, to make you just before the just God, to make you to be a child of the living God. Putting on Jesus Christ is remembering what he did for us. And how he suffered for us. You ever think about the crucifixion of Jesus? Maybe I need to preach on that more. Because it's important to us, every Christian, to set some time and think about what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. The beating he took. Not just the crucifixion. The crucifixion was probably the easiest part of what he went through. He was beat worse than any man could ever live long enough to be beat. Other people would have died long before he was even given the opportunity to go to Calvary the way he was beaten. Only wearing him are we wearing a clean garment. Anything else is dirty. Only in Christ can we be clean. Only with him on us can we be clean. And that garment is sufficient, isn't it, to God. The only garment we have that's sufficient to God, isn't it? No other garment is sufficient to God. Now, if you will, go to Romans 8:29 for our fifth point and our last point. I want to make sure I get done tonight, so I'll kind of rush through some of this. Last point is this. Jesus Christ must be our all in all. He must be everything to us. He's everything we need, isn't he? He should be everything we want. And his will, which is the Father's will, should be our every will to accomplish. Everything we want to accomplish on this earth. We should not worry about what we can accomplish for ourselves. We should not worry about what we can accomplish as a church, or as Christians, or me as a pastor. What can I accomplish today for the Lord? How is this going to bring honor to the Lord, our God? How is it going to bring honor and glory to the man that died on that cross and suffered that pain and misery of the beating for me? How is this going to look for Jesus, the one who made me, who redeemed me, bought me, paid for me, gave me eternal life? We know Romans 8:28, don't we? All things work together for the good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We know that one, don't we? Isn't it good to know that all things work out to our good? Even if they don't look good. Even if it looks like the world's going in on our head, that's what God ordained for us. See, we have to think about the ordained will of God in everything. Now look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God the Father in Christ and through Christ conformed us, sinners, conformed us into the image of his Son. We did not conform ourselves. God conformed us in Christ to be like Christ. Now, it goes back to the word predestination too. God predetermined it, didn't he? Those that he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, you have two groups of people. You have the Arminians, and then you have the sovereign grace people, which is us. And the Arminians say, well, God looked into the future. Okay? God's looking into the future. You see, I'm looking into the future, right? And I see there's a fellow that's doing good. There's someone that's making a decision for Christ. There's someone that I want, so I pick him. What's wrong with that theory? It's not God, is it? First and foremost, and the only answer is God can't do that. God cannot look into the future and see me that I'm going to be saved, so he chooses me. You know what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? God changed, didn't he? God did not know all of his works from the foundation of the world. God did something that wasn't eternal. God did not know I was going to be saved. God looked into the future and saw me be saved. And therefore he chose me. And therefore he predestinated me to be a child. He predestinated me to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the problem with Arminianism. It's all wrong. Every bit of it wrong. Ain't nothing right about it. God, before the world ever was created, before anything was ever created, when only in the beginning was God, God already knew me. I was already here. He'd already elected me. What does it mean for God to elect? I have no idea. God never sat down and chose a remnant. He's always known that remnant. Isn't that something? I mean, it's difficult for us to fathom in our minds because our minds are so finite. They're so weak and they're so limited. To understand it, God already knew everything. We won't ever understand it. So he says, let me finish this because I only got a few more minutes. He says, conformed, he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. What's the word conformed mean? It means jointly fitted, jointly formed. That is fashioned like unto his son. That was Strong's definition. Vine says it means it signifies having the same form as another, making a sinner, listen, into the image of his son. That's wild, isn't it? That's unthinkable, isn't it? That God made us conformed, formed us, jointly fitted us in the image of his own son, Jesus Christ. How could God do that? Through Jesus. Through Jesus. We're wearing Jesus. Jesus is our clothing. God doesn't see me for the sin that I have. God sees me through Christ, through the blood of Jesus, that I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. People think God sits around and watches our sins. He does not. God watches what we're doing in his word. If we're going to church, if we're studying, if we're doing this for church and doing that for the church, if we're doing this for the Lord, doing that for the Lord, as a church, he's looking to see if we're standing and walking in the truth, if we're going into the world and preaching the gospel. Not worried about what it accomplishes. We can't give the increase, can we? I just gave most of my article from the newsletter away. That's okay. I'm still going to write it. That's why we have to look at it, isn't it? Let me finish. Philippians chapter 3, if you will. You know, it just puts me into a different atmosphere, different orbit, you might say, to try to comprehend in my mind that God has conformed me, this old sinner, to be in the image of his Son. That he's making me into the image of his Son. That's the reason we are his children. And Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven. That's where it needs to be, isn't it? From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 21. Who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorified, glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. But not just our vile bodies, but that's what we like, isn't it? Our bodies must be glorified. Our souls have already been cleansed. Somebody was talking about this the other day. I can't remember who the conversation was with, but they didn't know what they were talking about. Our soul and spirit is not the same. They're different. Our soul is not dead. Our spirit was dead, right? And when the spirit was quickened by the Holy Spirit to bring us to salvation, it's living, isn't it? So if it's dead, it's living. If it's dead, it's living. If our soul dies, we're with the Lord, aren't we? We're gone, aren't we? We're like Adam laying there. As a lump of dirt with no soul, because it's dead. The soul and the spirit isn't the same. Both have been redeemed. The soul has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The spirit has been quickened and made alive by the Holy Spirit, also redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And our bodies have also too. And they will be glorified also. So it's only after Jesus comes, I don't care, Sister Hammond's the same, and Ronnie Jr.'s the same, and Sister Bookout's the same, Sister Melody's the same, all of us gone on before, Wendell, they're all the same. They will collect their new glorified bodies when the Lord returns. And their salvation will be complete when the Lord returns. The same as the rest of us. If we're gone at that time, we will also collect our glorified bodies. And that's when salvation is complete, isn't it? But in this life, we need to walk in the life that God has given us. Our responsibility as children of God is to walk as children in Christ. Walk in the Spirit, that's in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Scripture. To walk in the will of God. And last but not least, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let his light so shine in an evil, dark world. Don't let it be dimmed by the evil, dark world. Don't forget Memorial Service for Sister Hammond, 2:30, Monday the 19th. Anybody want to come, more than welcome. That'll be 2:30, Monday the 19th. Okay, that's all I have for tonight. I appreciate